The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company.
Every week, your Inquirer Bengals Beat writers Paul Danner Jr. and formidable flubber Fletcher Page take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium.
We're plugged into the club, from the front office to the field, win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go.
Presented by 50 West Brewing Company, as always, Cincinnati Inquirer, Bengals beat writers. I'm Paul Leonard Jr. here with my man Fletcher Page. Saints week, Saints preview time. Are you feeling like Friday night at 10 p.m. on Bourbon Street, or Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on Bourbon Street?
I'm leaning more toward that Monday morning car ride home.
Oh, the ride? Well, see.
Or that airport wait.
I was going to say, you back in the day when you were a Georgia kid, you could do that drive. Worst drive I've ever done as a human was following a bachelor party in New Orleans all the way back to Albany, Georgia. When I worked down there, there were four dudes in one ride, and not a single word was spoken until we reached the Georgia state line from New Orleans all the way to Georgia. That was a really unnecessarily long drive and one of the worst experiences of my life.
You guys should have stopped somewhere in Mississippi or Alabama and did a little jangle. Got your Bojangles on. That would have pulled you right
out. That's true. That's spoken like a true Southerner.
Cajun filet and coffee.
Yes. I've never really gone that route.
Worst drive I ever did was when I was covering Illinois. I somehow had some friends come up from Georgia. They wanted to go to the Michigan game. Illinois got blasted. I think it was like 45-0. I drove from Ann Arbor all the way to Athens, Georgia. The only time we stopped was in Cincinnati.
Hey.
So my friend could throw up.
It's a bad drive.
Yeah, I drove the entire way. No one even offered to give me a substitute.
Sometimes you just got to take the wheel and cross your fingers that it works out. So plenty to get to. We can tell more Bourbon Street stories later. I've got more than a couple. We will get to those for New Orleans week. Celebrate it. Maybe some cool jazz. Maybe we can bring in some cool jazz tunes later as well. I will say, I mean, I just visited New Orleans earlier this year and had one of my favorite times ever. Just when you get out of Bourbon Street, it's particularly fun as you get older. I'm an old man now.
Yeah, so, I was there 2 days before
so
Christmas.
So I do things like go antiquing on Magazine Street.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I'm not quite there.
Lots to get to here, though, that is actually Bengals related. So we've got a lot of stuff on injuries. We'll update some of those. You're doing a story on sort of the big picture of just how injured this team is in comparison to recent years and a lot of other elements of that. So we'll dive into that. We'll talk a little bit about what we think this offensive line is going to look like on Sunday. How the hell you stop Drew Brees. Some of the things that we think that they might be plotting. We'll have our predictions, of course, as always. Beyond the Stripes this week was with Jordan Franks, who has a really entertaining background. Of course, undrafted guy, his brother's quarterback at Florida, and he is familiar with worm charming.
I like Jordan because he's a county guy.
He is a Kansas, just myself. Like you are, yeah. He's from Wakulla County.
He did a good job of breaking down what that means whenever all your friends get to say they're from Tampa or Orlando, and you got to say Wakulla County.
Yeah.
Because no one knows you're the county seat.
Yeah. And everyone just assumes what? What do they assume?
That you're basic and simple. I've been carrying this chip.
You said that like it hurts, you know?
I've been carrying those chips for years.
So we'll have some of that conversation. Hot Seat was great with Jordan Franks and a lot of their good stuff from him. So that'll be on the back end of the podcast as well. You will have to apologize to the Radon and Pinky communities. Pinky,
yeah.
Who you totally offended and have heard from over the course of this week, which I just really am excited for that part of the show. And we'll have our bet for next week, which I've got a couple ideas that we can come up with some stuff we'll get to see if or if you will continue to be formidable flubber Fletcher Page in our intro. We shall see. All right, let's talk injuries. So to update where we're at, obviously, no AJ Green's been out here. He's not going to be here this week. Almost certainly not next week. After that, I think you get more to the week to week with AJ Green. You have the cast of four has shown up on the rehab field. So you've got Giovanni Bernard, or excuse me. That's not who it is at all. Gio's been practicing
formally of the rehab.
I would say Gio is probably a 50-50 coin flip for Sunday. Personally, I would sit him and focus on Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward him.
But he has practiced both days this week on a limited capacity. So potentially you might see Giovanni this weekend. But I would say definitely Baltimore. The cast of four. Nick Vigil. Vontaze Burfict.
Quez.
Darqueze Dennard. Three starting defensive players all in the rehab field and Tyler Croft. So you've got those four are all on the side, and this is the first week that they've all been there. Darqueze, I think you can start to see him coming back probably against Baltimore. I think Burfict and Croft and Vigil. I think the other three are farther off.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But I think you might see you'll see Darqueze. But those guys, I mean, the fact that they're on the rehab field, they're one step closer. You're getting closer to seeing those guys. John Ross is going to play. Billy Price is going to play. How much? I don't know. That's kind of an interesting thing to watch. Will they just throw him back in the mix, even though Trey Hopkins has played fairly well? Will they ease him back? Do you have a feel on that?
I don't, but I think he could play 100% of the snaps if needed because I think he could have played against Tampa Bay.
Correct.
So
He's been out there for 2 weeks of practice now.
But, again, you got to play this by ear, I guess. I mean, if they're in the game, I think Billy Price is your best option there. They've made that clear that he's going to play at center. And so if they're in the game, I think he'll play.
Not to mention Alex Redmond is dinged with a hamstring. Returned to practice on Thursday, but how healthy is he? Do you need to spell him? Trey Hopkins would be the one to spell him at guard. So Hopkins, I think we will see out there in some capacity, whether it's spelling both Price and Redmond or just one, or who knows, maybe Redmond aggravates that hamstring as they get going. I think that we will see. That'd be an interesting number to let. How many snaps does Trey Hopkins play on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a nice little side bet. I mean, it's not good enough to bet on for the intro music, but
no.
With bowling, you know, with the back spasms missing Monday, I don't think that was a big concern, but just something we got to track. And then Redmond.
I mean, bowling did miss the second half of the last game he played.
Right.
So, I mean.
Crank it up, Westerman Hive.
Westerman Hive cannot like the fact that now he's one step further back.
Right. The versatility of Trey Hopkins.
Yep.
It's hurting the Hive.
Hurting the Hive. The Hive is not buzzing as much. So you're doing this story, and we kind of concocted this, as we were just looking this in the wake of AJ, of just one of those, golly, right? It's kind of a golly type moment where it's like, how many injuries is this team going to sustain at this point in the year? And it just feels worse than it has been in ages. And our thought was, is that a feeling? Is that real? How do you quantify it? What does that mean in the big picture of the NFL? And What have you been most interested that you found this week? This will be the game day cover story, by the way. So if you want to, you can pick that up, or it'll be obviously online at cincinnati.com. But what have you kind of been intrigued by?
Well, this all started with a very simple question. Of course, this led me down to complex paths. Is this the most injured the Cincinnati Bengals have ever been? Now, that's going to be hard for us to really figure out, because I've got some stats back to 2001 in terms of depth charts, starters, things of that nature. I've been going through it. But luckily, Football Outsiders has a nice little stat called Adjusted Games Lost. Let me tell you why I like this stat.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Put it on you here. It's based on it's able to quantify how teams are affected by injuries by two ways. Injuries to starters, which is something that we can track by just merely, you know, is Tyler Eifert out? But it also it has a metric that's weighted toward injury to replacements, injury to important situational reserves. But it also goes in and takes into account guys through the week who might be listed as doubtful, questionable, probable, and if they play, so that way you know that those guys probably aren't 100%.
Yeah.
So
it's in depth, for sure.
Now, so to try to get a baseline for is this the most injuries ever, went through and looked at the Bengals' adjusted games loss rating. I've looked at it to 2002, but just for the means of to be concise, the past 10 years, it's not going to surprise you that the seven times that the Bengals were below league average in games lost, six of those times they made the playoffs.
Right.
The three times that they were above the league average, they missed the playoffs. Their worst rating in the past 10 years was 2008. That was probably the worst, one of the worst teams in the Marvin
Lewis.
Right. That team finished four.
CP going down, which quarterback counts should count as like eight times.
Right.
Because it's the one thing that will totally, you know, tank your season, I guess, unless you have Nick Foles.
So let's keep working through this. I'm sorry for this is a really rich dessert here we're working through here.
Yeah. Creamy. Milky.
I guess this isn't really dessert. So that 2008 was a bad year. There was another year that was bad where they finished 4-12. You're the historian. What year is that? It's got to be
2010, Teocho show.
So that was another bad one.
Lost nine in a row, and that was the
No-brainer freeze.
God bless it.
But Cincinnati led the league in adjusted games lost. And what year would you think it would be?
2015.
Right. One of their best years. So I know it's not surprising. There's a correlation between a team staying healthy and a team having success. But what strikes me the most, what's most interesting to me is I read these injuries off. You want me to go down the list a little bit or?
Just go for whatever you got.
So we're talking about Bernard, Brown, Perfect, Seathan Carter, Denard, Eifert, Glasgow, Michael Johnson, Joe Mixon, Tyler Croft, Billy Price, Schreck, Vigil, Lawson, Green.
God. When you hear them all read off in a line.
And I didn't say John Ross.
You didn't say John Ross, who has missed games.
But here's why. This is what struck me about this, is that only John Ross has a soft tissue injury, groin, and then the hamstring to Redmond, which I haven't listed because he really hasn't missed much time. So
right.
Some of this stuff's hard to quantify. But I talked to Clint Bowling about this. He's been with this team for 8 years, Carlos Dunlap. It's pretty clear that the Bengals have done everything they can do in terms of strength and conditioning, having a schedule from preseason camp through August. And to this point, we're not talking about guys that are really nursing things like hamstrings and groins. We're talking about things that there's absolutely nothing you can do. If you're Tyler Eifert, there's nothing you can do about a gruesome ankle snap.
Sternoclaviculars.
Right.
I mean, like the stuff that we're talking about is wild freak injury stuff. I mean, broken feet, you know, I mean, toes.
Right.
These aren't, yeah.
And that's the reality that these guys are living with. I mean, Carlos Dunlap likes to say that football has a 100% injury rate, but it's just that you can do everything that you can control, and that's what Carl Lawson said. I controlled everything I can. I'm as physically well and prepared, and I had a dead ball ACL tear.
Yep.
There's absolutely nothing you can do about that. And so the takeaway for me is that last year, to bring this out to a league-wide thing, I believe, let's see here. This is a good pod right now.
Yeah, just build the suspense. That's when you know a good stat's coming.
Seven of the top 10 teams And AGL made the playoffs. 9 of the bottom 10 did not. So at the end of the day, you do all you can, but if you're going to have these catastrophic injuries that just you simply cannot control, you're going to have to buck a very serious trend to make the playoffs, which the Bengals are sitting at 5-3 and entering a very favorable portion of their schedule have been able to do so far.
Yeah, and that's where the cast of four comes into play of getting those guys back and starting to tick away and not continue to see guys go down where your AGL will end up in the bottom quarter of the league. I mean, if they could just stay relatively healthy the rest of the way out, despite all that's happened, they probably wouldn't be in that bottom 10. Be close. I mean, they've lost a lot of guys. But, you know, it is certainly an uphill battle that they're having to overcome. And, you know, when you list them all off like that, it blows your mind. Because you forget about some of them because they just become part of what you are. And it really, you know, it certainly tests this roster that I think was and is deeper than they've certainly had in a number of years. But now you can only take on so much until your depth is – it doesn't really matter how deep you were. There's only a certain level of talent any team can accrue in this league, you know. To make up for that,
I'm still digging. Yeah, so I still got a couple more hours to sort of round this out.
to carve into it. But anyway, it's really interesting, and I think it does. You know, all that stuff puts into perspective of sort of the uphill battle here. All right, I wanna dive a little bit into how you stop Drew Brees, and. You know, the numbers that he's putting up are astronomical. So, I mean, you know, he obviously leads the league in completion percentage. He only has thrown one INT. I think you can make a pretty tough argument to stop that he could be the MVP despite everything Pat Mahomes is doing. Maybe he should be the MVP. He's been incredible. The league has morphed into a league that fits his skill set perfectly, and he's taking advantage of that. He's got weapons. He has Michael Thomas. He has Kamara. He has a run game that is solid. He now has Dez Bryant, who's washed up and trash, but that's fine.
Too early for the rant. That's where you like just notice the lava kind of seeping down.
Yeah,
the
it's just worth noting that. We don't know if Dez will even play, and I'm positive that if he does play at all, he will catch a touchdown just so Bengals Twitter can totally roast me, and that's fine. Because if a guy scores one touchdown, that means he's definitely not washed up. What?
I'm Let it saying. Go. Yeah.
I just don't think – I don't think I will. So anyway, you've got the way Drew – what do you – you know, to me – and you tell me your opinion on this. To me – stop Alvin Kamara out of the backfield. That's my number one concern and my number one thing that I don't know how they will do it. There are options to do defensively, but, you know, if they can find a way to do that, I like a lot of where they would be at. I just don't know that they can or many teams in this league that can.
I think that you got to have to force turnovers, which with Brees only throwing one interception, can't really count on.
Good luck.
Here's what you got to do. You got to tackle. I know this is...
And they haven't done that either.
I know this is the run the ball version of offense, but yeah. This team missing so many tackles. I think they missed 14 more against Tampa Bay. That was kind of lost in the shuffle of all the other craziness going on in that second half. Got to tackle and minimize the damage, but... I mean, Kamara and Thomas are two of the best, so.
I would travel William Jackson III with Michael Thomas like they did with DeSean Jackson, even though that didn't exactly work out perfectly, and let him man up. I would tell him, do to that dude what you did to Antonio Brown last year. Do it. Go do it, right? And then I would go three safeties and – bring Fedge or whoever, Brandon Wilson, I don't care. I would bring them down and have them spy Kamara every play, no matter what. And, you know, say you want to run at us, run at us. You know, you've got guys, you got to stop the run at some point, but, you know, you got to hope that your defensive line can do some stuff there. I think those two things, I would do both of those and then say, make anybody else beat us.
Right.
Anybody else.
Because you go from Michael Thomas already has 70 catches. Alvin Kamara has 51. You drop all the way down. Benjamin Watson, who I can't believe is still in the league. UGA guy who's been playing for 30 years, it feels like. he's got 26 catches. And then Tre'Quan Smith has just 12. So it's pretty astounding that Michael Thomas has 70 catches. And then you've got to go down to 12 to the next wide receiver.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, you just, and, you know, it's not like nobody else has come in to play the Saints with a plan.
Right.
You know, it's obviously, but, you know, you've got to figure out what that is.
And I like you calling out the three safety thing. This would be a great game for Nick Vigil. Unfortunately, he's not out there. So I think you're going to have to do something to get some more speed on the field.
And it fits what they do.
Right.
You know? And you don't need to be, you don't need to go be in that when Ingram comes out, you know, when they don't have Kamara in, then, you know, you can go to your standard base or whatever and maybe trust to try to cover that way. But, you know, with him in there, you morph to what they are, look like them, match it up with the type of guy that you can. And you've got, Lord knows it's the only damn position on this team that isn't decimated by injury. Take advantage of that.
Right.
You know, so I would like to see that stuff. Will we? I don't know. I don't know how much of that we'll see or how open to that they are. Okay. Let's talk. I want to take a quick second to promo a couple of things here. One, I want to talk about my other podcast venture. That's with Cincinnati. Big week for That Cincinnati. With Election Day on Tuesday, we had the post-election spectacular. But there was so much to dig into that affects everyone in the city locally. Why did certain things happen? Why did the county go so blue? Why did the state go so red? What does that mean for all the everyday activities of your daily life? The fact that the commissioners are 3 Democrats to 0 for the first time in history, that is a big deal. Why is that a big deal? Sherry Coolidge, obviously Jason Williams always on it with me. Sherry Coolidge came and joined with some perspective. Interesting stuff on what the future of AFTAB Puroval might be, what this might mean for Prosecutor Joe Dieters. There is just so much to dig into that came out of Tuesday. It was a great podcast, really interesting conversation. If you care at all about your daily life, you live here in Cincinnati and the city as a whole, I highly recommend this as a listen. It's really important stuff, and we had some fun along the way. So anyway, if you get a chance, That's So Cincinnati. Search it. It's on your iTunes. It's on Google Play, all those things. It's also up on the site on Cincinnati.com as well. You can get to it there through Audio Boom. Same places you get the Bengals Beat podcast. You can get that one. So I hope you all go and give that a chance. Enjoy it. And that thing's not going anywhere. So subscribe, leave comments, all that stuff. We love all listeners we get there. Also, have to shout out 50 West, our good friends down there who had the Bruin Q on Saturday, which was fantastic. Elevated, I call it elevated brewery experience, right? You pay a little extra, but you get way more and takes advantage of the settings they have. They do that stuff all the time. It was awesome. I had my first Christmas ale of the year because nice. Great Lakes came down and they did a tap split, and they even merged on a fall beer they came up with. Home Sweet Home is delicious. If you get a chance to get down there, you got to go check it out. Just awesome stuff going on down there. Optimistic Bobby. I got to chat him up a little bit. So anyway, again, I have to remind y'all how good 50 West is. If you get a chance, get down there. All right, let's talk predictions. Well, you know what? Let's do predictions, and then we'll let you do apologies, and we'll do a bet. How's that sound?
I like that.
Because I think we should have Fletcher's weekly apologies. Yeah. Like on Tuesday's BBP OG, we have Today and Kanye, and then Lord knows wherever else you go. But this week, these BBP, the deuces, I think you just apologize for things that you said on Tuesday.
Certainly. I mean, I've rolled out some outlandish takes about about Goo Fudge and Radon, Pinky Toes.
Goo Fudge, man. Can we get Goo Fudge on this podcast?
Because, I mean, he and AJ were really good friends in college. So.
And what's he doing now?
He should be talking about AJ, I guess.
Yeah. With us. Yeah. But mostly talking about Goo Fudge.
Yeah.
I'm putting that on you. Fish, if you're listening right now, I need you to hassle at Fletcher Page on Twitter about getting Goo Fudge on the deuce sometime before this year is over.
We can
hassle him, heckle him every day. I need this. Get if you don't, I'm going to be disappointed in you. Say hashtag Goo Fudge, hashtag Westerman Hive. That's what I want. Get after Fletcher about this. I want him on the show.
Man, my mentions are going to be fun.
That's it. Well, as fun as they have been, thanks to Radon and Pinky Toes.
Well, you know it's serious when they go to the email. Wait, I'm not making apologies till after the predictions.
I want you to read your. Is that email readable?
I guess I could call it up.
Yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in the future. Let's go predictions. What do you got? What are your thoughts and what do you got?
I just think that it's a pretty easy pick for me. I think it was probably the same pick that you would make in preseason. And obviously the injuries kind of compound things. The next week is crucial. I know the joke is the forfeit joke has been trotted out earlier this week, but mm-hmm. I think I'm picking something in the range of 35-21 New Orleans. So for the Saints, it'll be a Friday night on Bourbon Street.
All right. That's fair.
For the Bengals, it's not a silent car ride home.
No.
Because you know moving forward to next weekend in Baltimore, everything's on the table. So,
but you are hungover.
A little hungover.
Definitely hungover, but you're talking.
Right.
You're talking me through. Maybe you did stop for Bojangles. Bojangles is next week's Ravens game in this scenario.
Well, you know that the Bojangles is coming in the form of the rehab field 4.
Yeah.
And maybe good news about AJ. So the hydration level is not completely
in the basket. What is AJ Green? Is he's got to be the
Cajun filet biscuit, man. He's it. All right.
It's what it's all about.
Right.
The other one is just the sides, you know. Maybe
the fixins.
The fixins. That's right. You're exactly right. The fixins. All right. So my here's my thing. You might be surprised about this, and those of you that always hashtag Paul Downer Jr. to me will be surprised at this as well. I am a fan of the Bengals surprising people this week. I am kind of a believer, actually. There are a number of things. There are some things this year that have been so out of the Bengals playbook, like just standard Bengals stuff. Kansas City, standard Bengals stuff. Pittsburgh, pretty close to standard Bengals stuff. Some of the games that they've won earlier this year, the 1 o'clock wins, a lot of just the kind of some of the things they've done has been out of the Bengals playbook. This, keeping this game close despite everything, is Bengals playbook 101 historically under Marv and Andy, really. In fact, who's ready for a nugget?
Bring them on.
Nugget time. Are nuggets in the Bojangles?
I think they got the scripts.
Yeah.
I don't think they come in nuggets.
Yeah. No, they just all right. I'm not a Bojangles guy. I'm a Chick-fil-A guy. In Zaxby's. Anyway,
well, I'm not going to complain about that if we're pulling in those parking lots,
yeah,
but
yeah. So Bengals, as a home dog, their last 9 as a home dog have straight up gone 7-2. And those 2 losses, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who they just can't beat anyway, so I almost throw those out. So almost you could say in non-Steelers games, 7 in a row as a home dog, okay? That is Bengals playbook 101. They are, what did we say they were, 5? 4.5?
It's been moving.
So that there's that. There is this week. This league is such a week to week league. Everything you think you knew 1 week, you don't know the next. Things change so quickly. Everybody is all on the Saints right now. Dude, understandably so. They've won 7 in a row.
Just beat the Rams.
They just beat the Rams. There's Drew, everything that's going for them. And the Bengals are on the other side. Lost A.J. Green. Even though they're 5-3, they're being discounted because, you know, we lose A.J., it's all over, right? And they played so bad defensively against the Bucs. They got blown out by Kansas City and for everyone to watch. So everyone's down on the Bengals. Look at the Saints games on the road this year. What have they done, right? They needed Justin Tucker missing a PAT for the first time in life to avoid overtime in Baltimore. We know Baltimore is not that great, okay? They needed overtime in Atlanta. Well, the Bengals won in Atlanta, basically in an overtime-type deal the last second. They beat a hapless Giants team 33-18 in New York. They beat the Vikings 30-20 in Minnesota, an impressive win until you really watch. Kirk Cousins had an unbelievably terrible pick six in that game, and they had a completely idiotic fumble inside the red zone that got taken back all the way back the other way. Two huge plays that basically changed the entire dynamic of that game that were just stupid Minnesota mistakes. Easy, stupid Minnesota mistakes. 30-20. That game should have been way closer than it was. Minnesota really kind of went down their leg on that one. Away, the Superdome is a very serious advantage for them. Being away from it, I'm not going to say they're going to play poor because it's cold, but they never play in the cold. It's going to be like 44 or something like that. They literally have played one game in under 50 degree temperatures since 2014. All of that stuff makes me believe that this will not be the blowout that a lot of people believe that it will be. That said, Bengals lose.
You almost convinced me to make this a single-digit deficit.
31-28, Saints.
Close.
Very close. I think down to the wire, super tense moments, Bengals with a chance. I think their defense fails them again and Drew Brees pulls it out. But I do think that they will be right there. I think this will be much closer than people anticipate it being. I could be dead wrong, but I think a lot, all the stuff I just talked about and just sort of like the, you know, the bye week simmering stuff, and I think that this team will play a whole lot better than people anticipated. How Bill Lazor handles not having A.J. Green is the variable, but I think it will force them to get the ball to Mixon more in some creative capacity, which is something they need to do more of. There's just a lot of stuff there. So that's my prediction.
I was told that you were real negative, at least my sampling of Twitter. And you, against Tampa Bay, you called for a blowout, and then here you're not as
I did call for a blowout, and then really it wasn't. I would like to point out that I feel like I've actually been fairly positive cat this week.
Yes.
I had the story on the Rising Stars in the player personnel department. I had a story on actually, hey, pay attention, the offensive line actually has been pretty good story. I'll get back to my negative Nancy ways. The Downer Jr. is not dead in me. I'm not dead inside. I am negative when it needs to be.
Right.
When they deserve negativity, it comes.
And that's when it cuts the deepest. When it's deserved.
When it's deserved. But there's, I think there are a few reasons to not be so. Everyone has gone to a really dark place. This AJ, obviously AJ is very much a savior and, you know, all those things. But I feel like even for that, there's been overreaction from Bengals Nation on how dismal things are.
Right, but let me tell you about what really take you to a dark place and what can cause you to say things that you probably don't mean. It's when your radon test comes back with elevated levels, okay?
First of all, can you just tell me how surprised you have been at the negative reaction to your radon as a hoax?
Well, I certainly...
Hashtag radon as a hoax.
I certainly did not mean... to make light of it. Obviously, I'm frustrated because I want to get it done. I don't want to have to deal with mitigating things. Okay, that's never a good thing whenever someone tells you got to mitigate.
Yeah, you want to mitigate.
So, I've been informed by a listener that between around 20,000 people die each year from lung cancer allegedly caused by radon. So, I don't mean to be dismissive of the thing, and unfortunately one of the biggest culprits of radon is limestone. I live
obviously
in Kentucky. Limestone produces three things. It produces great bourbon, It produces great horses because of the calcium in the water that they drink. Makes their bones strong for faster whatever.
Keep going. It's going well.
Number three is radon.
Radon.
All right. So you got to have two good things. You get one bad. I've got radon in my house.
You do.
So I was frustrated, said some things out of frustration I didn't mean. Or I should have checked myself. I'm sorry out there. The radon thing, I was having fun with it. I apologize. The pinky toe, though, was just pure ignorance on my part because I have been
in, you told me afterwards you knew that, that power ranking toes was a bad decision.
Bad deal. I believe I'll be vindicated. And I don't want to start another controversy.
How are
you don't need
vindicated?
Your pinky finger. Pinky fingers are useless. And I believe over the course of evolution, in maybe like 5-10,000 years, humans won't even have pinkies because they're obsolete. We don't use them. All right? So I just took that same principle down to the foot. It could not be more wrong. And I was informed.
People have blown you up about how dumb you have been in regards to the pinky toe.
So you need the middle. You need that middle toe. No, you don't need the middle toe.
You don't need the middle toe. Like I told you in the first place.
You're right. Middle toe is worthless. You're looking, again, I kind of compared it to an offensive line. You might be weak at guard or maybe weak at even tackle in some instances. But if your collective group is strong, you can get by.
But your collective group cannot be strong
without that pinky.
Without that pinky. It's the left tackle on the toes.
I think it's the right tackle.
It's the right tackle.
Maybe you can make the argument. Well,
big toe is the left tackle.
Totally.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the coup d'etat is the center in this situation. I think the guards are like, whatever.
I did get a couple of stories about people that were missing pinky toes and how it had really damaged their way of living and walking. So I apologize for that as well. But pinky fingers, you're worthless. I'm coming for you now.
Pinky fingers, when they become obsolete, how's anybody going to throw a circle change? Challenging.
That's a good point.
Really makes things harder, you know?
That's right.
What else do you use pinky fingers for, you know? How are you gonna pretentiously drink a cocktail? Huh? How are you going to do that?
How are you going to let people know you're better than them?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to.
When you're sipping from
if you don't have your pinky finger.
That's right.
There's a lot there. Send Fletcher all the things that you do with your pinky finger at Fletcher Page.
I don't think
Twitter.
I don't need to know what some people are doing with pinky finger.
Look, if you're sticking around this late into the deuce at this point, like you've got time to just blow up Fletcher's mentions with pictures of you doing awesome stuff with your pinky finger. That's what I
want to
see.
And I want everybody to know too.
Wait, not those pictures. Right. Maybe not.
I am having the radon mitigated at the house.
All right, good. Radon's getting taken care
of. That's right.
So nobody has to worry about that. Okay, so how about this? How about our bet for the week? Our bet for the week is over under number of pictures of somebody using their pinky finger shows up via Twitter. Your Twitter mentions before... Let's say Sunday.
At
kickoff. How many show up? Pictures of that or what was the hashtag earlier?
Goofudge.
Goofudge. Either of those. How many pinky fingers? The word radon.
Goofudge.
Or goofudge show up in your mentions between now. I will say, let's put the, do you want, over-under number will go at 12.
I want the over.
You want the over.
I want the over.
Over-under number goes to 20.
I want the over.
You still want the over.
I want that over.
All right. I think 20 might be a lot.
I have faith in my people. They're still learning me.
We're 40 minutes into the deuce. This is the hardcore time. This is when the real fans are here. So how many of those do we have? And are they going to blow you up? And do they want to see myself made fun of in the all right, that's fine. 20 is the number.
20 is the number. And I can juice the stats a little bit because I can put the word out on Twitter.
You are not allowed.
Oh, it's got to be organic.
It's got to be organic. You are not allowed to promote this.
So I can't retweet any.
You can promote the pod. You cannot. You cannot retweet someone sending you something. You cannot spin it up. You cannot juice it up.
Well, so now it just looks like I'm being rude because some people write to me.
People that are sending you this have listened to this and know that you're not allowed to respond.
All right. Taking the over.
Under 20. All right, still taking the. All right, so that's where we're at. That's our bet for this week. Reminder to everybody, we got Jordan Franks coming up here. Really enjoyed him on BTS, so give that a look. Subscribe, comment, all those things to not only the Bengals Beat podcast, but That's So Cincinnati. Go listen to our election review spectacular. Myself, Jason Williams, Sherry Coolidge, talking about all the fallout from the elections, what it means for you, the Cincinnatian. You're going to like that. Also, head down to 50 West, drink beer. I shouldn't tell you to do this. It's delicious. You should drink it.
It'll help.
Drink 50 West. Pick it up in Kroger. Drink it at the stadium on Sunday. Drink Coast to Coast at the stadium on Sunday because they're also delicious. Anyway, pick up Reed Fletcher's story on injuries on Cincinnati.com. Really good stuff there. Or you can pick up the game day section on Sunday. Of course, we'll have the walkout podcast after Sunday's game. And all your coverage can be found where? At Cincinnati.com. That's where we're at. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to The Deuce. We'll talk to you on Sunday night.
All right, welcome back to the studios at 312 Elm Street. Happy to bring up on the desk Bengals tight end Jordan Franks. Thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, yes, sir.
You know, happy to have you here. You know, you're hitting 100%. One offensive play, one catch of 32 yards. You certainly can't beat that. How was the how was your debut? How did you feel like the debut went?
I think it went well. I got some stuff I need to work on, obviously, but I think overall it gave me a little taste of the NFL game compared to college, so it was fun.
Absolutely. So obviously with all the injuries in the room, you've been kind of called up and summoned into position. Let's give you a chance to play fill in the blank, which is most important in your role on the team. We do this every single week. Are you guys ready for your answers? The Bengals' first half was what? Fletcher, I'll let you open
coming
it up.
Coming to me first.
I'm coming to you first. Let's shake it up. What do you got?
I'm going
to
say it was adequate. I think we knew that the second half of the schedule kind of set up for the Bengals to make it to the playoffs. To survive the first eight games at 5-3, you're in perfect position moving forward. Obviously, the defense has got some issues. The offense had some encouraging last-minute drives, game-winning drives that I think you can build off moving forward.
All right, Lindsay.
I think you can be optimistic before the season. If you were to ask fans, would you take 5-3? I think a lot of them would right now, but I also think it's been filled with injuries. I know a lot of people will say injuries happen
filled
on
filled with injuries?
Is yes. That
you know, we're supposed to be thinking of a word, Lindsay.
I know phrases. I like to
last
phrases.
Week you tried to
I do
two.
Not like words. I don't like to just say one word because I do. I
filled with injuries.
Injuries.
Yeah.
Injuries with this team right now. And I know you look around the NFL, everyone is dealing with them, but I feel like Carl Lawson said it best. When you even look at the tight end group right now, it's like someone threw a grenade over there. Mm-hmm. When you have just a couple guys right now, when you lose Tyler Eifert in the beginning of this season, some of the guys on defense, I just think right now it's filled with injuries.
Filled with injuries. No shrapnel in you. Up and going, though. So you've been managed to survive the grenade thus far. I guess knock on wood. What would you say the first half was for this team?
I'd say interesting.
Yeah.
Y'all made some good points about the injuries, but I feel like we came to a real good start. Obviously, you want to go undefeated and all that, but then we had we want to face problems also early in the year as a football team rather than later in the year. So it's pretty cool how we've seen how we can bump from bumps in the road, bump back, and I think we did pretty well so far.
Yeah, you came in 5-3. For me, the word would be foundational. Does that work? Yeah. I think you set yourself up to be where you want to be at the end of the year. And that's really all you can ask at the first half of the season, particularly one that had all the injuries and everything else that went on to be sitting here at 5-3. It's all seems to be right there in front of you. From your angle, I mean, as a guy coming in your first time in the league, how did this first eight games sit with your expectations? And obviously, you know, you saw some of it from the practice squad, but I mean, was it what you expected or has it been totally different?
All right. So I guess going to preseason, it was more getting used to the game. So, you know, I got a little action in there. You're still basically going against college people, I guess you say, mm-hmm. trying to make the team. And then when it switched over to the regular season, you can see the game so much faster. And I've seen a lot from practice squad and I traveled. They let me travel every game. So I traveled. And it's pretty cool to see how things are done the right way rather than the wrong way. And when I first got my first shot, it was pretty good. I want to say coming from, I guess you say, a fast team in college, it wasn't too fast for me. But the strength of everybody on the field is completely different. Everybody's so much stronger with their position. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who are some of the guys that you're learning from on the team right now?
I say when I first got in, so I learned from Tyler Eifert, CJ, basically every tight end. Ryan Hewitt, when he was here, helped me out a lot. Mason, Seathan, Tyler, the other Tyler, two Tylers. But they helped me out a lot, understanding routes and blocking schemes of the offense. It's a little different in college. College is more simpler. It's more a little more complex. It plays more like a sentence. And it's been fun, though.
Yeah.
Is it true that you – are you living with Tyler Eifert or – are you guys roommates?
Yeah, he lets me stay with him for right now.
Okay, so so do you throw things off him all the time when you guys are just hanging out?
Oh, yeah, I bug him a lot with questions, maybe a little too much. But I just try to learn from him because, obviously, he's a great player in the NFL. And it's pretty cool that I can learn from him.
Absolutely. Well, you can't always win them all, although you would think that coming from UCF. You feel like, hey, maybe you can win them all sometimes. Yeah. That's what we did in college, right? But anyway, it's great having you here with us. We're going to be right back. It's going to be hot seat time here on Beyond the Stripes. We are back on Beyond the Stripes, and this is the hot seat. I'm Paul Daugherty. I'm here with Jordan Franks, who's never been on the hot seat before, so this should be an experience. You went to the University of Central Florida, correct?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Home of the nation's longest college football winning streak at the moment.
Right.
21 games. How do you feel about the playoff system in college football?
Oh, okay. I get this question a lot. I mean, I understand, the whole concept of the Power Five, why their justification for not letting us in, but also we have our justification that we've beat teams that are considered Power Five top heavy teams. And I mean, our record speaks for itself. Our conference does well against Power Five teams too. So, I mean, we can't really do too much about it, but we lay our chips where they lie.
What should happen if you were commissioner of the college football universe, man? What would you do to fix that?
Oh, probably expand the playoffs. Eight teams at least have two power six. They probably won't like that, but power six teams in there. If they don't do that, then they have to reevaluate how they evaluate teams into the playoffs. Maybe just throw a lower ranking in their terms into the fourth slot and see how it goes from there.
A lot of people around here would be in favor of the power six, University of Cincinnati being right. in it all. You're in high school. Your kid brother was your quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many passes, how many times did you guys connect?
Oh, shoot, I feel old. This is a while back. I'll just throw a random number out, probably 50, maybe.
50. You were his primary receiver.
Yeah, primary receiver.
Did you lecture him on the evenings after games or the mornings after games when he didn't throw to you as much as you thought he should have?
No, not too much. I know I just go out there and run. And hopefully he has a strong enough arm to throw it far enough for me. So that's how it went.
And he's a redshirt freshman starting quarterback at Florida now, right?
Sophomore. Yeah.
Okay. And how's he doing?
He's doing pretty well. As any football player, you know, going through little bumps and bruises. But he's doing enough. I think he's doing fairly well.
Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about your school.
All right.
The University of Central Florida, all right?
Okay.
Did you know that UCF opened in 1968 as Florida Technological University with the mission of providing personnel to support the growing U.S. space program?
Yes, I did know that.
You knew that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever want to be an astronaut?
No, but I did want to intern at NASA, which is right down the road. So.
Really?
Yep.
What did you want to do at NASA?
My first degree was computer science, so I want to do that, but I switched it to finance.
No kidding.
And graduate with that.
That's cool. Name me one entertainment celebrity that went to UCF.
Who's the guy that does Tosh.0? What's his
name? That'd be Tosh.0, yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, you knew that. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
How about Cheryl Hines? You ever heard of her?
I've heard of her. Not sure what she does.
She played Cheryl David on the HBO television series Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
You ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
You should. It's pretty funny. Daniel Tosh.
Daniel Tosh, that's his name.
You ever see The Blair Witch Project?
Never seen that.
You should check that out. It's one of the scariest movies ever. Two UCF alumni were part of that. Ooh. Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez filmed and directed The Blair Witch Project. You didn't know this stuff. All right, give me two other NFL players that went to UCF not named Blake Bortles.
Oh, Shaquem Griffin, my class, and Tre'Quan Smith. Brandon Marshall, there's a lot.
That's good. How about Dante Culpepper? Remember him?
Oh, yeah, quarterback.
Absolutely.
Great.
Matt Prater?
That's the kicker.
Right.
He's at the Lions.
How did UCF get so good so fast in football?
A lot of people don't want to like the answer, but George O'Leary.
George O'Leary.
Yep.
Why don't people like that answer?
He's a hard-nosed football coach, but he put UCF on the map. Won a couple of big bowl games, big teams he beat.
What college in America has more undergraduates than UCF?
Is it Arizona?
None.
Oh, okay.
The most undergraduates of any college in America. 62,000 students, man.
Yeah, it's a big city.
I went to a school that had like 1,600. Was it ever hard to find a place to park at UCF?
Yeah, that's the crazy part. It was actually like 10 parking garages, but they're always full, so you can't park anywhere.
Did some students have to live in tents or sleep on park benches?
No. They did take naps, though.
When school lets out in the springs, are like a mass traffic jam?
Yeah.
For real. See, I'm just goofing on you. Yeah, and like this is all true.
Yeah, it's like a little city. It's funny.
You are from Wakulla County, Florida.
Yep.
You told me off air that you don't have a town big enough that anybody would recognize. So when people ask where you're from, you say you're from Wakulla County.
Yep. So yeah, usually people say, where are you from? They say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Tampa. But I have to say Wakulla County.
Okay. You also went to Wakulla High School in Crawfordsville, which has a population of about 6.5.
Yep. Only high school in the county.
Yeah. Can you tell me one fun fact about Crawfordsville?
One fun fact.
Yeah.
We have Wakulla Springs, which you say you went to. That's
I did.
About the only fun fact there is in the county.
I can give you another one. You ready?
Yeah.
It's the headquarters of the St. Mark's Powder Company.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you know what street. That does? They make ball propellant. I'm going to say that with a straight face. Used for more than 95% of the United States military small arms ammunition.
Yep.
There's how about that? Hunting.
Yep.
You ever been to Sop Choppy?
Yep. My dad used to work down there. GD teacher.
Your dad did?
Mm-hmm.
It's a suburb of Crawfordsville. I think they have like 3.5 people there.
Yes.
Do you know what Sop Choppy is famous for?
Sop Choppy? I do not.
Would you like to know?
I would like to know.
All right. The town is home to the annual Worm Grunting Festival.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You knew that.
I guess I'm just used to it.
It's got to be famous. A town celebration named in honor of, believe it or not, worm grunting.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as worm charming.
Yep.
Which is a method for driving worms to the surface of the earth. Worm charmers hammer wooden stakes into the ground, then rub them with metal slabs. The resulting vibrations cause the worms to surface.
Yep.
You ever in your life charmed a worm,
Jordan? I haven't. I've been with people that have, though. It's pretty cool to see.
It's pretty cool to see.
It's a good fish bait.
Well, yeah. So if it's a really exciting day, you'd go charm some worms and hook them up and go fishing.
Right.
In Wakulla County. Do you think you might like to charm worms if the opportunity ever presented itself?
I think I'll be good.
You'll be all right?
I'll be all right.
Your life would be complete if you don't do that?
Yeah, I think I'll
all
be
right.
Good.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
When I grow up? I could show myself young still. I guess I'm in the NFL. I don't even know, really. I wanted to be an NFL player my whole life, and it's kind of happening right now. So it's kind of surreal. And that's really it. I haven't really thought about anything else so far.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Short shelf life NFL career.
Yeah, real short.
Yeah.
Obviously make good investments and do what I want, which I do not know. Maybe coach later on.
Get out and be an astronaut. What makes you happy?
Makes me seeing my family do good. It is always good for me. Obviously, I come from a small county, a simple life, so it's not really assets that make me happy. It's more seeing people around me that are happy, and it's always good to see.
What makes you unhappy? What makes you mad?
Mad? The opposite, but mostly, I guess you see seeing people being disrespected makes me mad.
Yeah.
It's a quick trigger for me.
Okay. What do you believe in?
What do I believe in?
Yeah.
Opportunity. I believe that even though not everybody has the same opportunity, I would believe in that you have opportunity. And I didn't really come from much, me and my brother. But we made the most of it. We never complain, no excuses. And that's what I believe in. Take advantage of opportunity.
Have you voted?
I haven't. Today's the day, though.
Today's the day, right?
Today's the day.
It's too late. You'd have to do an absentee, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Do you know Jim Ozarski?
Do I know who?
Jim Ozarski.
I do not.
Okay. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, who's that?
Jim Ozarski is a well-known, highly respected NFL writer who has moved on from here back to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to be closer to his bride.
Okay.
He covers the Green Bay Packers. You ever heard of them?
I have heard of them.
There you go. All right, man. You are off the hot seat.
I
Thank
appreciate
you very
it.
Much.
Yes, sir.
You bet. We will be back momentarily on Beyond the Stripes.